Welcome to the TechCast. I'm producer Becca Refford. The TechCast is sponsored by Chariot Solutions, a full-stack application development consultancy committed to building high-quality software solutions. With expertise in Java 8, Scala, Clojure, Spring, iOS, Android, AngularJS, and other open-source technologies, we can bring the right blend of expertise and technology to bear for your organization. Visit us on the web at chariotsolutions.com. Chariot Solutions offers consulting, mentoring, and training in open source languages, platforms, and frameworks, such as JavaScript language fundamentals, testing, and build tools, Angular 1 and Angular 2, Scala, and Akka. We're offering a special for our podcast listeners on the first Angular 2 course we have to offer. Join us for the first beta of our Angular 2 training class on May 24th to 26th and save $100 on your ticket with the discount code of TechCast, all one word, lowercase.
Our next Philly Merchant Tech Talk is also with another Scala person. This is James Roper. How would you categorize James?
So he was on the core team for the Play framework, and he's worked on that for, I guess, for a couple of years now. Now he's the tech lead as well of Lagom, which is a new framework just introduced this year by Lightbend on a Java-oriented microservices framework. And he talks about that at ET. His talk is rethinking REST in a microservices world. So he talks about REST and asynchronous non-blocking operations, microservices, sort of how to marry the two, and introduces some code samples. Doesn't get too in-depth about Lagom, but using Lagom to do those kind of things.
Great. And we will have his podcast, or should say his screencast, up and running as soon as we have that produced. But for now, let's listen to the interview we did with him. He gave us a lot of time, and I think it's going to be really interesting. So again, James Roper.
All right, here. I'm here today. Sujan Kapadia, technical consultant at Chariot Solutions. First day of Philly ET, rocking conference already. And I'm here with James Roper, the tech lead of Lagom and Play. Hi, James.
Hi.
So quite a number of Scala talks today, all really great, really good. I think it's bringing a lot more people into the Scala community in the fold of Scala. Could you talk a little bit about the, I feel like there's been an underlying theme today of trying to, you know, not scare people off of Scala and say, hey, Scala can be simple, the good parts. You don't have to be super functional, super abstract with, you know, type level and abstract algebra and stuff. But they're, you know, trying to get more people into the Scala community and smoother transition. Can you speak a little bit about that?
On Play, we focus very much on trying to keep things really simple for that first experience. So we try to avoid a lot of the, I guess, scary Scala features, and we provide macros and things like that to help with that experience. We also generally, across everything, we try to keep the Scala and Java APIs in feature parity, and sometimes that actually means restricting the Scala API a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want people to be able, we don't want the Java developers to miss out. And I think that actually kind of helps with adoption of Scala, because it forces us to think in a way where how can this be done without these advanced features in a nice, simple, and easy to use way.
That's awesome. That's actually really refreshing to hear. There's definitely a lot of developments in the world of Java 8 and 9 as well. It's a good segue into another question. How popular at this point is Play in the Java ecosystem, and where do you see it going forward with the introduction of Lagom?
Popular compared to other frameworks out
there?
Yeah,
like Spring MVC or something like that.
I mean Spring is still massively more popular than Play. We can't deny that. It's especially in big enterprises, you could say it's the de facto standard.
Sure, yeah. I guess as a larger dependency injection framework. I started using Play about 6 months ago, and I'm a huge fan, and I'm a convert now.
Yep. So, I guess a lot of people are quite interested in Play in the Java ecosystem, and we see probably around 50% of our users are using Java.
Wow. Okay.
Especially as Java 8 becomes more popular, mm-hmm. Play becomes a lot nicer framework to use because it's asynchronous, so you right. need some of those Java 8 features. So that's, I think, helping Play a bit. And I think also as people start to become more aware in the Java ecosystem of reactive development patterns, then they start to look towards, well, what actually provides this? Because If you try to do that with something like Spring, yes, it does have some asynchronous I/O support, but it's still, you know, for many, it's the default thing is to kind of just go back to the synchronous APIs, which you try to put everything together in an asynchronous way, and it's kind of a bit disjointed. Mm-hmm. Whereas doing everything asynchronous in play is not too bad.
So with Akka Streams, I know there's mention of, I guess Play has been rewritten to use Akka IO, Akka Streams under the hood, correct?
Yes.
How involved was that rewrite? How, you know, how large of an effort was it?
For Play?
Yeah.
So we moved from in Play 2.5 from Iterates to Akka Streams. Mm-hmm. And we were able to create some abstractions in Play that were, I guess, an Akka Streams version of what we provided before, which was Iterates. And this made it actually quite simple. So the move from Iterates to Akka Streams, actually, so far the initial feedback has been that it's broke very little code, only if you're doing some more advanced streaming things underneath. So it wasn't very difficult on Play for us to move to Akka Streams. For the underlying IO implementation, so Play still uses Netty by default, but we also have the Akka HTTP implementation of the server underneath, and that's completely transparent. For us, implementing that on Akka HTTP wasn't too difficult either.
Okay, that's funny. So my next question was going to be, is Akka IO, Akka HTTP versus Netty, is that still on the roadmap for Play?
Oh, yeah. Akka HTTP has not been, performance tuned yet. It's still got the experimental flag. You can switch to it today. You can enable it. We wouldn't recommend doing that because it's the Akka team just hasn't had the time to battle harden it yet.
Right.
But in future, you'll find probably a switch.
Okay, awesome. Are there any plans to overhaul or modify Switch the Turtle templating engine, or is that still going forward the templating engine of choice for Play?
That's still going forward as the templating choice.
And when we're fans a lot more of, you know, RESTful or whatever, you know, JSON services, and dealing with the front end with a framework like Angular, you know, React, Ember, those kind of things. So when you talk about plain stuff, do you encourage developers to try to keep a clean separation between the front and back end and not rely as much on server-side templating?
I think it really depends on your application.
Okay.
If your application behaves as an application in the front end, then using a single page app with REST calls probably makes a lot of sense. If your application is content heavy and is more about just server, people are just going to interact with it one page at a time. So a really good example of this is The Guardian, the newspaper website. They use Play for their site.
Okay.
And that's done using Twill templating, and I wouldn't do it any other way because if you serve your content up using semantic HTML, it's much better to index. It's a lot easier to consume from a lot more devices.
There's a lot less front-end logic and more just data being generated into a template.
Yep.
Okay. So could you speak a little bit about Logome and how that fits in the ecosystem now, how it fits with Play, and if there's an integration between the two?
So what we found when talking to people about doing microservices using Play and Akka is people wanted to do microservices, but a lot of people didn't know how. So at best, they were simply didn't know. At worst, they'd try and plow on ahead and rewrite their monolith using Play and Akka, but as if it was just a monolith still. And so we realized that people need a bit more guidance in how to do it. So Play and Akka provide the tools and the APIs necessary to do everything that you want, but they don't force you to do things in a way that's a good way for microservices. So Logome really, it's designed to kind of really restrict you in what you do to try and push you in the direction of doing things right. So that's from persistence. We encourage using event sourcing and CQRS, and that's kind of the first class persistence support in Logome. as well as we try to encourage asynchronous communication between services. We have first-class support for Arca Streams. You can just open a stream to another service and send messages between them. And it also goes right through to in development and production. When you run one service in development, like a monolith, you have to set up a lot of things like a database and all the configuration that service needs. When you're using microservices, you have to do that times how many microservices you have.
Right.
So consequently, doing it manually is really not an option. And so you need to have some sort of environment that runs it for you and manages that for you in development. So Lygon provides that. And then going to production, of course, it's even more important because managing things in production, you really need managed for you in a microservices environment to manage all the nodes, how they communicate to each other. And so Lygon provides you with that guidance right through to production.
Okay, so if you're using Lygon, you sort of have to use CQRS and event sourcing. And then if you want a traditional database to act like a reporting database, you'd have views off of that.
Yes, I wouldn't say you have to.
Okay.
Lygon builds on top of Play. Uh-huh. Any module that Play supports, you can use in Lygon.
Slick, for example.
Yep, you can use Slick. Uh-huh. You could use JPA.
Okay.
But we provide, in the documentation, you go to persistence. This is how to do persistence, event sourcing, and CQRS. And all the nice APIs that we provide are built around these kind of things rather than with Play. We try to just be less opinionated there and whatever you want to do, you can do. Whereas we just try to push really strongly. You should do it this way.
Okay. That's awesome. Your talk was great this morning. We're really excited with a lot of things coming out of the Scala ecosystem and community and out of Lightbend. And there's so much movement now and so much adoption of it that I kind of feel like there's a lot more waiting to come out of the system. We're seeing a lot of clients adopt it and a lot of people asking about Scala now. So we think you guys are doing a great job and, you're really doing a great job, especially I feel on the side of, marketing and spreading Scala and getting companies to adopt it. So, we love that.
Cool.
Thank you a lot for your time. And hope you enjoy ETE.
It's good talking to you.
It's great to have the Scala people here in the ecosystem here. So yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Check out our website for more content over the coming months. We'll announce it via our Twitter handle, @ChariotSolution. But if you want to browse, you can hit chariotsolutions.com/techcast for all of our podcasts, chariotsolutions.com/blog for our blog page, and chariotsolutions.com/screencast for all of our ETE podcasts. InfoQ is also hosting a page at infoq.com/ETE. Sujan Kapadia, technology architect at Chariot Solutions, will be speaking about Scala at two upcoming events. On April 27th, he'll be speaking at the Reactive New York City meetup in New York City. His talk is titled, "Don't Block on It, Migrate Your Codebase Before It's Too Late." On May 4th, he'll be at Philly Tech Week conducting a 3-hour Intro to Scala workshop entitled, "Intro to Scala, Fear No More." If you're up in New York City and interested in learning more about Chariot Solutions, reach out to Sujan at skapadia@chariotsolutions.com or on Twitter @SujanKapadia. That's SujanKapadia. Thanks again for listening to the TechCast, hosted by Ken Rimple, who is @krimple on Twitter, and Becca Refford, who is @bexreford. Thanks for listening.